Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Now, that doesn't mean to be born again. You have to be born again before you can ever get the spirit of revelation.
Amen.
See, there's one spirit, many operations. And he tells us that we should have the spirit of revelation. Now, you might be a Christian, you might be a devoted person. You might fast and you might pray. You might be withdrawn from the world. You might be developing your lives in Christ. And you might be trying to get closer to God every day, trying to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our rightful duty. We should do that. But on the other hand, that still doesn't mean that you have the spirit of revelation. Paul had served God for many years in his way and what he understood, and was a man that was blameless. According to the Bible, he was a man that was blameless. He loved God, but he never had received the spirit of revelation. He'd done what he knew to do, and he loved the Lord with all of his heart. But he was in great error because he had never received the spirit of revelation. But one day God spoke to Paul and told Paul that he wanted to do something for him. And God began to move in Paul's life, and then God gave unto Paul the spirit of revelation.
Amen.
And because of receiving that spirit, it was because of that that Paul eventually was caught up into the third heavens. He didn't say that it was him. He said, I know of a man. But, you know, that is to shield the thing, to keep the glory away from the flesh and to turn it to Christ. He said, I knew of a man. He said, such a one was caught up into the third heaven, saw things that was not permitted for him to speak. So, tonight, if you don't have the spirit of revelation, then you should ask God to give you the spirit of revelation. Because there is nothing more beautiful than to walk with God every day of your life and have Him to speak to you like He did the prophets of old.
Amen.
The Bible said the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. And then we ask in our heart, how did the word of the Lord come unto the prophets? It came unto the prophets by one means. And that is, as it says to you and I today, that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, it will show you things that are to come.
Amen.
Things that will come. God will show you things that is to come. So then you get this in your heart, and God will show you things that's to come. See, that is to say, He will reveal to you, He will make known to you, He will open your understanding, He will do something special for you. And going to church won't just be a long, drawn-out thing, you know, of routine.
That's right.
Just going and you get to be a routinist. You go and you hear the preacher and you go back home and you go back and you hear the preacher and you go back home, you know, and you think, my, what's exciting about this? It won't be like that, folks. When you get into the channel of godliness and you get into the spirit of revelation, you will feast every day on things that people know nothing about.
Amen.
You will feast on things that they cannot get in college, Amen. They cannot get in school. The greatest philosophers cannot give them to you. They come directly from God.
Amen.
See, the Bible said God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent. And God hath made them revelation unto babes, such as will learn. Great and mighty men of the world and philosophers, great mighty men that are scientific, those men are considered to be great men, and people that know nothing about that kind of life and that are those that are not knowledgeable to that great greatness of science, they're considered to be babes in the eyes of these great and mighty men. The Bible said God has revealed this unto babes that are willing to learn. So, I was just thinking yesterday of the wonderful revelation of Christ. I was watching it yesterday and it was so astoundingly beautiful. And I was watching it today. It's been so astoundingly beautiful today. And every day of my life, I walk with the Lord and I walk in the heavenly places. I remember having a vision one time, and in this vision, I was elevated way up into the heavens. I was way up into the heavens. And I was looking at some of the most beautiful things. They were actually just, as we say, breathtaking. I didn't have any words of expression for them. And I was so excited as I looked across the heavens and I saw so many multiplied beautiful things. And I turned to the people and I thought it was up here. And I was looking down. There was a great multitude of people down there on the earth. And I kept saying over and over, I said, folks, look at those things that are in heaven. Look at those wonderful things that are in heaven. It's just, and then I stopped like that. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that the people was not looking at those things that were in heaven, but they were looking straight at me. And I turned to them and I said, folks, I said, can't you see those things in heaven? I said, they're so beautiful. But I became aware of the fact that they did not see them. So then God does have a minister to help us find those things that are in heaven. He does have somebody to help us get a hold of those things that are in heaven. When you talk about being in heaven, of course, there's a lot of thoughts arise, and I hope I can kind of get acquainted with you just a little bit tonight, talking like this, you know. But there's a lot of thoughts that arises in our heart. Jesus said one time, why does thoughts arise in your heart? In that he perceived their thoughts in his spirit. And a lot of thoughts arise in your heart, you know, when you talk about heaven. And somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you're talking about heaven. You're talking about something I don't know anything about. I've never been there. But I tell you what, there's a whole lot to learn about where heaven is and what heaven is. Amen. If you don't know what heaven is and you don't know where it is, then you really need to get into the things of God. Amen. Because, folks, this is the most beautiful, glorious day that has ever been given in the history of all mankind. Amen. The Bible said, now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God, even unto the heavenly places. And you have the greatest opportunity. You know, I look around me, and I see the things of the world, and I see people participating in the activities of the world, like sports and government and social benefits and just many multiplied things in the world. And I see them going hard after these things, and they're completely swallowed up in them. And their time is completely taken up with these things. And I'm not just speaking of people in general that's in the world, but I'm speaking of the church world. And I look at these things and I think, God is for sure that they've never run across the things that you've revealed to me. And God, they've never run across that spirit of revelation. They've never seen what the church holds and what God holds for the church. If they did, you know, the Bible said, if you ever discover this pearl of great price, you'll sell all you got. Amen. It is so beautiful. It is so fascinating that if you ever get a hold of it, there's nothing in the world that can attract you anymore. There's nothing. It doesn't matter whether it's money or whether it's prestige, fame, popularity, whatever, nothing can get a hold of you anymore. Well, I can truthfully say tonight from the bottom of my heart that God has blessed me so far as that which is natural. We started with nothing and He's blessed us with everything that heart could wish for. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Now you can get rich in the world, but when you get rich in the world, you got some sorrow coming. It's going to come. But the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And I can truthfully say that He's been very good to me. He's taken care of all of my needs. He's helped me to preach around the different parts of the world. We just come back from India, a crusade over in India. We had a wonderful crusade in India. And from there we went on over into Palestine and got a chance to try to help the people over in that area. We've been over there a couple of times in Israel. And we've been able to minister to the people there. And tonight, I'm glad to say that our ministry has been blessed. Our ministry, though not fully active in our literature department, yet we're in more than every major language of the world. And God has blessed us, and we have been all through the islands, down in South America, all down through South America and Argentina, Bolivia and Brazil and Colombia and all out into the islands. And God has blessed us. In every place that we've gone, God has blessed us. And we just recently closed our tent meetings down. We had a tent meeting over in Thomasville, North Carolina, and God blessed us there. And we went to Eden. The Lord told me to go to Eden. He told me, said, move the tent and go to Eden. And we went to Eden, and I said, well, Lord, there's no advertisement out in Eden. I don't have a place to set the tent. And the Lord said, go there and set the five-pole tent. We have a big five-pole tent, about 140 by 220. And He said, go there and set the five-pole tents, and I'll take care of the place to set it. I'll take care of the advertisement, and I'll take care of everything. He said, you don't have to worry about nothing. I said, well, praise God. We got the trucks rolling, and the men, they took the tent down in Thomasville. They went straight to Eden. And you can believe this or not, but this is the truth if I've ever told it in my life. I'd more than pulled up on a plaza that was called the King's Plaza. I just pulled up on it, and night was beginning to fall, the shades of the evening. And right behind me, there came a reporter. And this reporter was from the Greensboro News. And he told me, said, I've been trying to get a story on you while you was over in Thomasville, North Carolina, and said, I didn't do it. Said, so I followed you all the way up here and said, I'm going to get a story. And he spent about, I guess he must have spent about 3 to 4 hours, maybe longer, trying to interview us and interview my wife. And right as the meeting was ready to come forth, there come the advertisement out in color on front page on the Greensboro News, a good write-up, and a blessing from the Lord, and it was all over the countryside, everywhere. Amen. And before we left, there was about 4 or 5 papers that carried it, and the radios, of course, and TV and whatever. God blessed us, and God afforded a place for us. He gave us a lot. He gave us a great big parcel of ground, and we didn't have to spend a dime for it. God blessed us with it. It was just fascinating, Brother Jim, to see how the great, wonderful hand of God miraculously moved just by trusting Him and going on to do what we could. Now, I'm here tonight to try to encourage your faith. Paul said, we are helpers of your faith. We're nothing more than you are. We're just another person, that's all. And nothing special about us in any way. We're just another person. But we are helpers of your faith, and we are the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm here tonight to try to encourage your faith and to try to help enlighten you the best that I know how, to cause you to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, I come here. I don't get to go out to meetings like this very much. Usually the Lord directs my path, and we have our own meetings, or we go somewhere overseas or whatever, and all of our time is usually taken up. And this weekend, we had somebody that was wanting us to go into another place. But the Lord spoke to me to come up here to be with Brother Jim. We also had an outstanding minister that's down from the Carolinas that was there with us. And also visitors that was out of Memphis, Tennessee with us, which also came up to this meeting. Or they're coming up to this meeting. And we just went off and left the ministers that came down. And, you know, he'll understand because he knows that we're led by the Spirit of God. And so we're here tonight not just to preach to you, though I am a preacher and I love to preach the gospel. Every preacher loves to preach the gospel because he doesn't feel clear in his soul until he preaches the gospel. If he can preach the gospel, then he feels clear in his soul. He feels like the blood is off of his hands and he can just go his way and feel so clear about it. But until he does, Paul, the writer said, we're debtor to Greek, barbarian, we're debtor to all men to preach the gospel as much as life within us. But I come here not just to preach the gospel. I come here because there is a great revelational thing taking place in Brother Jim being here. There's a great revelational thing taking place, and we came here because it had to do with this great, wonderful revelational thing that God is doing. Now, I say again, if you have the spirit of revelation, then you can understand what I'm saying. If you don't have the spirit of revelation, then I know that you don't understand what I'm saying. But nevertheless, you hold on to the Word of God. See, don't just look around and say, well, I don't see anything, you know. Here's a tent, and here's Brother Pike, and here's Brother Jim, and here's some people, but I don't see anything happening. Don't do that. Remember, God is the invisible. God is the Spirit. God is the invisible. Paul said, I serve God with my spirit, even the invisible God. So God is the invisible God. He promised that if just 2 or 3 of you would get together in the name of the Lord, that He would be in the midst of you. Isn't that right? Now, am I to believe what God said about it? If I believe what God said about it, that means that God is right here tonight. Isn't that right? All right, now, it also said that the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear the Lord. Isn't that right? So then tonight we're here in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. We're here in His name. And being here in His name tonight, then that means that God is here with us. And that means the great Holy Spirit is present tonight. We've been having some wonderful blessings as of late. We've had some healings. We just got some reports on some healings. There was a bad blood disease. We just got a report on it, how that God had healed the woman after that prayer had been given far, and the Lord had blessed our prayers. And though it was incurable, yet God healed her. And she sent us some pictures, and she was a poor, rundown person before, and in the picture she was real healthy and whatever. Sent her testimony and how that God had healed her. These things by doctor's reports, God showing the wonderful miraculous and the wonderful healing. Now, like tonight, you may have problems. God's got a threefold blessing for you. And one of those blessings is a natural blessing, which pertains to the things of this world. God wants you to have the things of this world. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God wants me to have the things of this world, Brother Pike. But God wants you to have the things of this world. All right, I want to read just a little bit here over in the book of St. Luke. In the fourth chapter, I'd like for you to read with me if you've got your Bibles. I love to read quite a bit of Scripture. Okay, brother. In the fourth chapter of the book of St. Luke, and it's the 18th verse, it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Now, he goes on to say, "Preach the gospel to the poor." And He has sent me to heal and to bind up the brokenhearted. But the thing I want to think on is He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Amen. Now, see, that makes me know that you have to be anointed to preach the gospel. Amen. Now, I don't believe that you have to get up here and get anointed. Let me clarify something tonight. You know, a lot of times people, they will watch you preach and they say, well, he's not anointed tonight. Or they'll say, well, he's preached too long and the anointing's lifted. Now see, that's not right. You've got that wrong, folks. Amen. See, God's preacher doesn't have to get anointed. Amen. Are you listening?
Amen.
I'll get a little repercussion out of this. But God's preacher does not have to get anointed. You say, Brother Pike, why doesn't he have to get anointed? Because he is God's anointed.
Amen.
See, he doesn't have to get anointed. He is God's anointed, for God hath anointed us. Therefore, he is God's anointed. He is God's anointed when he is asleep at night. He is God's anointed when he is awake in the daytime. He is God's anointed if you meet him down at the service station. There and he begins to talk with you, he's God's anointed. If you meet him on the platform, he is God's anointed. Under this tent, he is God's anointed. Wherever you meet God's man, he is God's anointed. He's got a word for you. He's got the gospel. He's got the word of God for you. And he can really help you. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, but when the anointing lifts, I can tell when it lifts. No. See, you think that you can tell when it lifts. But what it is, you just cut God off. They got a little saying in the word world that you turn someone off. What it is, you turn God off. That's what happens. You just turn God off. Maybe you've got something else on your mind, or maybe you just had a certain allotted period of time that you was going to use to come to church. For instance, I say, I'm going to that tent meeting tonight out there with Brother Jim, and I'm going to be out there about 45 minutes, but if they go beyond that, then I'm just going to leave. See, well, you're defeated to start with. There was no need of you coming. People who go to church with their minds like that, they're defeated to start with.
Amen.
There's no need for them to go to church because they're not going to get anything. They are already self-made and self-programmed for that particular time. Amen. And they're not going to get anything from God. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, anybody would have enough sense, you know, that after you preached about 45 minutes, people should go home. But see, God doesn't do that. That's what's wrong with the church today. God doesn't do that. That's all right for people out yonder that doesn't know God. That's just religious people. That's all right for people like that. But see, what if God tells you like he did Elijah? He says, he sends an angel down and he bakes you a cake. And he says, now you eat this cake. And then you eat that cake and all of a sudden he sends another angel down, or the angel bakes another cake and he says, eat that cake. And then he says to you, now for 40 long days you're not going to eat anything else. For 40 long days you're going to be in a journey. Don't make any plans to go anywhere you want to go. For 40 long days you're going to do what I say. Somebody would say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. What about my job and what about my business? And Elijah could have said all of that. He was a human being. He had responsibilities, isn't that right?
Amen.
Somebody would say, well, I don't believe Elijah had that to start with. Well, let's change over to Moses.
Amen.
Moses was there with Pharaoh, isn't that right?
Amen.
He was a prince down there among those great people in Egypt. Isn't that right?
Amen.
But when God said for Moses to get out of there, and Moses didn't move like God wanted him to, then God moved him out of there. Isn't that right? So, folks, it's just like tonight. I could have gone somewhere else. I could have been somewhere else. But God said, you go to Indiana. That's a long drive, folks. That's a long ride from where we came from up here. But God said, you go up there. I could have said, but God, I'm busy. I got lots of things to do. And, folks, you better believe I really got a lot of things I need to do. Naturally, physically, spiritually, whatever. But God said, you go up there. And so here I am. So you see, coming to church in ritualistic or formality will never do. Being a ritualistic preacher or a preacher of formality will never do. Now that's all right if you want that kind of preacher. That's all right if you want that kind of church and that kind of congregation for your community. That's all right. That's your business, you know. If you want to go to church and agree with him to do those things and he agrees with you and all of you get along, fine. That's fine. But it will never take you into the glory world. Never take you into heaven. You can be a great church. You can have a great program. You can give to the poor. You can do all kinds of things. You can have an overseas missionary movement and whatever you want to. But brothers and sisters in Christ, that will never take you into the kingdom of God. It won't work. You can't do it that way. So then the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, I made the statement that God has a threefold blessing for people. We'll start off on the simple side of life tonight. There is a threefold blessing, and I speak of this because this is what people are interested in. You know, the natural man is born into the world. He's natural. He thinks natural. He wants to be natural. He enjoys natural things. And God, being a spirit, is just exactly the opposite of what man is.
Yes,
have you ever considered that? That God is just exactly the opposite of what you are. He's just exactly the opposite of everything that you stand for. And did you know the Bible tells you that if you're carnally minded, then that is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And when you're born into this world, you're born into a carnal mind. Someone would say, Brother Pike, what is a carnal mind? Someone would say, I don't curse, and I don't drink, and I don't fight, and I don't steal, and I don't kill, and I don't cheat. Isn't that a carnal mind? That's carnal mind. Now, is that the carnal mind that Paul spoke of? No, it's not. You say, why do you say that it's not? For this reason, Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of you carnal? And it's for sure he wasn't talking about reaping cursing and drinking and killing and those kind of things. He was speaking of automobiles. He was speaking of houses. In that day, didn't have automobiles, but the chariots, whatever they had in that time. He was speaking of automobiles, speaking of homes. He was speaking of land. He was speaking of clothing, speaking of food, speaking of education, speaking of all the things that pertain to this life. That's what Paul was speaking of. See, he said, I've given you spiritual things, and if you have all of the advantage of the natural, shouldn't I reap some of these things? But I want to point out something to you tonight, children of God, and I want you to think on it. Does God want to hold back the things that are carnal from us? No. Did God create the carnal things? If God didn't create them, who did? If God didn't make the stars and God didn't make the trees and God didn't make the waters that flow by and the ocean and whatever, if God didn't make these bodies that are made out of human anatomy, then who made these things? So then God is the creator of all things. God is the creator of all carnal things. And God wants you to have the carnal things. He doesn't speak against the carnal things. There is nowhere in the Bible that God speaks against you having the carnal things. God's got a threefold blessing for you, and one of the blessings is the carnal things of life. God does not come against you because you are prosperous. God doesn't come against you because you are healthy and well. God doesn't come against you because you are religious. God doesn't pervert a man in his cause. God has this wonderful threefold plan for you. And one of those blessings is the carnal things of life. God wants you to have the natural side of life. You've got to have the natural side of life to survive in this world. That is, God wants you to have the land. If He doesn't want you to have the land, why did He give it to Abraham? The Bible teaches He's no respect of person. He gave Abraham lots of land and promised to Abraham's seed land. Even today, over in Israel, if you go over there, you'll find that land that they're trying to inherit because Abraham, their father, promised it to them. So then God wants you to have it. God wants you to have a good automobile. God wants you to have clothing. God wants you to have food. God doesn't care if you have an air conditioner on a hot night like this. God doesn't care if you have conveniences of life. It is God's program for you to have it. See, God has spared you and God has blessed you and God has given to you, and especially here in America. God has greatly blessed you. He does not care if you have these things. So then, what is it that God is against? Now, I want you to listen to me now. What is it that God is against? If God is not against the carnal things, then what is it that God is against? God is against you being carnally minded. God doesn't want you carnally minded. This is where the problem is. This is what caused Eve to fall from the garden. It wasn't all of the natural things that she had. She was made out of the dust. That is, Adam was, and her taken from him. So they had all of these other beautiful things. God wasn't against those things. He told them to dress the garden. They were the masters. As a matter of fact, Adam was the prince of this world. He was the prince of this world until he lost it to Lucifer, and Lucifer became the prince of this world. So then God is not against you having carnal things. Have all the carnal things you want. As a matter of fact, He said labor that you might have so that you can give. So you've got to have the right motive. If you're going to labor, you've got to have the right motive. God didn't say, go labor that you'll have a lot of money to put in the bank. And I know I'll get a repercussion out of some of these things tonight. But He didn't say for you to make money to lay money up in the bank. Now, did He do that? He didn't say for you to make money just to get one automobile, another automobile, another automobile. I know in the business that I'm in, we've got trucks and we've got buses and we've got all kinds of things, boat, planes, whatever. I use them for the glory of God. God doesn't care if you have those things. He gave them to me. See, I couldn't afford them no other way. And they're paid for. Most everything we've got's paid for in that way. Now, but the thing is, God wants you to take it. He wants you to use it for the glory of God. The Bible said, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses burst out with new wine. But now He said to the other people, He said, thou art cursed with a curse. He said, you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me. Even the whole nation has robbed me. You're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me. And He commanded the people that they should share with God. Isn't that right? Amen. Bring you all of the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse and try me here with saith the Lord of hosts and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. Amen. God has so graciously, wonderfully blessed me that we've had to share thousands and tens of thousands of dollars with other people around the world because our cup runs over. So then God wants you to labor, but He wants you to labor to have, to give. So then God wants you to labor, but He wants you to labor in your field of activity, whatever it might be. God wants you to do it that you might have to give to others. See, the Bible says, as it is written, he that gathered little had no lack. You know, if you've yonder in some of the places where we've been, in Haiti and over in India and different places, you can see that even the missionaries, even the preachers over there, they gather very little. There is very little together. The Bible said, this is written, that he that gathered little might not have any lack. Over there you see people sleeping on the streets. I'm sure some of you have been over there, and you don't find any place to sleep. They just lay right down on the ground. My heart's just been torn out of me almost. I'd be going down the street there at night, and I'd look, and here'd be a mother cuddled up over against a post or laying down on the ground just anywhere, and her little darling baby right there with her, laying right there, and it just tear me to pieces. And she'd be sitting there trying to stay awake to watch that little bitty one, and she'd be falling off to sleep like this. You could tell she's just weary, worn, and didn't have nothing to eat, no place to sleep, not even as much as a one little old piece of cloth cloth to cover them up with. You know, and you just stand there and you're looking and say, my God, this can't be real. I go to America and I see America. She's flourishing. She has everything that she wants. And yet she grumbles and she mumbles and she complains and she talks about poverty. And honestly, Brother Jim, they don't know what poverty is. They don't know what the word means. They've never really seen poverty. Even the poorest people that I meet in America, even in the hill country and in the mountains, they still have something. Yeah, them people don't have anything, folks. There's hundreds and millions of them that have nothing at all. So then the Bible said, it is as it is written, he that gathered little had no lack. People gather little. Then it says, on the other hand, he that gathered much had nothing left over. That is, if we gather much in America and they gather little in the mission fields, whether it be our people laboring for the cause of souls or whether it be other people. See, if they gather little and we gather much, as it is written, I didn't have anything left over to put in the bank. I didn't have anything left over to put in the bank. All right, let's look at it now. Will God let a rich man go to heaven? Are you listening now? When I say these things, don't just fly away now like a covey of birds. Listen till I finish. The Bible said a man's not wise and unless he hears a thing. If he tries to answer it in his mind and his thoughts, you know, before he really hears it, he's not very wise. So then a wise man will listen and he'll grow wiser, the Bible teaches. So then, here I labor that I might have to give. Can the rich man get into the kingdom of God? Can he really, truly go to heaven? It depends now. We say no because Jesus said it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Are you listening? Amen. Somebody say, well, that means the eye of the needle over yonder in Jerusalem. I know they've got a place. I know about that place. Yeah, but did you know that they can get through that place? You know, you can keep taking things off of the camel till he can slip through there. But did you know the statement Jesus made? He said, with men, this is impossible. Amen. So I wasn't talking about that needle. He was talking about the impossible. He said, I can do it. I can do it. But it's utterly impossible for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God when you don't give to God. The Bible said that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And he saw Lazarus way off in Abraham's bosom. The same Lazarus that had laid at his gate. Folks, there's people laying at your gate tonight. Yes, I go down into Mexico. I just come back from Mexico. And we had a wonderful meeting the nights that we were in Mexico. And those people are in poverty. We send clothes to them. We share with them. Those people are in poverty. We just received a letter from Israel. And from, I believe, over in Africa, India, numbers of places coming in all the time where we send food or send money or send clothing. And they tell us what it means to them. But those people, like Lazarus, is laying at our gate.
That's right.
We're the rich people. We've been blessed. We've got the conveniences and they don't have it. And they're laying at our gate and waiting for you and me to do something about it, folks. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I don't understand why that I don't feel good. I don't understand why I've got so much conflict in my body. I don't understand. I go to the doctor. I spend my money at the hospital, and I still don't feel like I ought to feel. You know what the problem is? It's because you're not sharing with folks like you ought to share. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. The scriptures cannot be broken. And the Bible says that if you will take the poor into your home, if you will feed the hungry, if you will clothe the naked, if you won't turn away from your own flesh and you won't do your own thing on my holy day, and I don't mean on Sunday now, we're talking about the day of the Lord. The song says, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We're talking about this wonderful Jesus day that's come to pass. You understand what I'm saying? And if you won't do your pleasure during the time of my desire, during the time that I'm trying to reach the people, during the time that I'm trying to bring the church in, if you won't do your own way, do your own thing, then I will bless you. And he said, if you will take the poor in, if you will clothe the naked, if you will feed the hungry. Now listen, he said, and then your health shall return unto you speedily. He didn't say that by and by you would get well, did he? He said, your health shall return unto you speedily, and the light of God shall go before you, and the Lord shall be your reward. Isn't that right? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. See, God wants to bless us. God wants to do something for us. So then God said it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Yet he turned right around and a man by the name of Zacchaeus. This man was rich. He climbed up into a sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus, in that he was little of stature. The Lord Jesus said, come down out of that tree. And he came down and he got all nervous and went before him and he said, God, half of my goods I give to the poor. Half of my gift to the poor. And said, if I've taken anything from any man and I've wronged him in any way, said, I'll give it back to him four times. Now listen, God had just said to the rich young ruler, yet lackest thou one thing. Now I want you to get this tonight, folks. This rich young ruler said, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And he said, keep the commandments. He said, well, I've done this from my youth up. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and these kind of things. Jesus, the Bible says that God looked at him and God loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved the man. But he said, yet likest thou one thing. Are you listening? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I go to church and I believe in the commandments. And you don't find me doing like the world. You know, the man, he beat himself on the chest and he said, Lord, I fast. I give tithe of all I possess. I do all of these things. But the voice said, but that's not the answer to the problem. That's not where salvation comes from. He said, salvation is of God. Salvation is of Christ. Salvation comes from the blood of Jesus. It's not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of the Son of God. Unless your righteousness excels this thing of your ritualistics and your church practices, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. Come on, folks. This thing is from heaven. This thing is of God. So then Jesus looked at the rich young ruler. And he said to the rich young ruler, he said, yet lackest thou one thing. What is it? He said, sell all that you have. Take it then and give to the poor. Then take up your cross and come and follow me. Then, he said, you'll have treasures in heaven. But the Bible says that the rich young ruler turned away sorrowful. And he wouldn't do this. Why was it that he did not do it? Because the Bible said he had many possessions in this world. Now, this is the thought I'd like for you to get a hold of tonight. See, when we speak about being rich, when we speak about the rich man, it didn't just say the rich man, how hardly shall they that have riches. Is anybody here that's got any riches? I'll have to put my hand up to start with. Has any of y'all got any? Say, oh no, I know better than that because I see some nice automobiles sitting out there. See, some of you got homes, you got clothes, that's riches. You say, but Brother Pike, that's not riches, that's just the things that's necessitated to life. No, no, they got by with a horse, they got by with a donkey. Still doing it today in some foreign countries. Say, oh, but you couldn't do that over here. Oh, yes, you can.
Amen.
Yeah, can you get by with a lamp light? You don't have to have electric light. You don't have to have an electric bill. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about convenience, the difference between that which is necessitated to life and convenience. Elijah lived in a cave. He didn't even have, I don't know where he had a lamp or not. But anyway, I'm saying that if you have riches, how hardly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom of God? While the disciples were so shook up, they said, my God, who can be saved? You know, if it's a matter of just people having riches, they knew they had riches. And they said, who then can be saved? So then I say this to you tonight to try to make a point to your understanding tonight, to try to help program your mind to where we can be set down on the solid rock of Christ and upon the true doctrine of Christ Jesus, that we're not blown about by every wind of doctrine and ideology that comes along. Can the rich man go to heaven? He can go to heaven. How can he go to heaven? Sell all that you have. Give to God.
Amen.
If you are a steward over the things of God, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. And so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses burst out with new wine. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I sell all that I have. Then I don't have anything. Well, why did the Bible say your barns will be filled with plenty? Amen. Sounds like you still got something. Everything you give, He restores it fourfold. He gives you a blessing in health, happiness. He gives you a blessing in your children. Look at the world today. He said, I've cursed your blessing. You're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me. Even the whole nation, He said, Israel, you've robbed me. So then, when we look at it, look at the little crippled children. Look at the mental cases. Look at the problems. Look at the deformities. Look at all these things. Look at the raging of wars and all these other things. The problems that we've got. What is the answer to it? We've got to share our substance with the other people. We must, of necessity, for survival's sake, even as a nation, share with other nations. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, we're sharing with other nations. I beg your pardon. You go over there and you'll find out that there's a lot of money going into the nations, but kind of like a paper that was published over in India. Some paper published this in India, and it showed the dignitaries over there in India and the leaders out of Cuba, and they all were in conference, and there they were eating and drinking, and it showed a great, great picnic, a party they was having, a great feast, a festival. And on the outside of the window, the picture showed the poor and the hungry looking in and starving to death at the windows. See, folks, it's not getting to the people. Somebody would say, well, we let the government do that, but God didn't say let the government do that. The government is the people anyway. Besides that, the government is the people. It's not the ecclesiastical that's in control up yonder. That's not what it is. You know, not too long ago, we gave a senator a word from God. God told us to. He was the leading senator in the United States. And God told us to tell him such and such and such. And we told him. And it came to pass exactly the way that God said it would come to pass. To the extent that the president commended the man for the thing that happened. And he wrote me a letter of gratitude and told me that it had come to pass. And just a few days back, we also had a chance by writings to testify to the president of the United States. To Mr. Reagan's, and we testified, we sent him one of our flags, which he accepted very gladly, one of our campground flags, and we testified to him of the Lord Jesus Christ, told him how we felt and what he should do and what was to be done, and it took a number of weeks. They received it right off. They acknowledged it. You know, we've got people that receive those kind of things. But then he personally contacted me and placed the seal on the letter or whatever it was that was written back to me and told me how much that he appreciated that. You know, what we need to do is to rise up and be a light for God and do something for God. Stop waiting for the government to do it. Let's you and I get together and do something for God, folks. And I don't mean to holler at you, forgive me. I get excited. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet, you know. All right, he said, show my people of their sins. He said, they come to church. They delight to come and talk to me. They act like they've never done wrong. They want to hear. He said, but yet they've forsaken my ordinance. They've gone away from me. They've robbed me. The whole nation has robbed me. They're cursed with a curse. They can't get out from under the sickness. They can't get out from under these problems because of it. All right, let's look at that in just a few minutes now. I'm going to try to hurry along tonight. I'll try not to hold you long tonight. But I want to hurry along tonight. Notice this, if a man that has treasures, a man that is rich, if he will share with God, he can go to heaven, folks. He can go to heaven. If he'll share with God, he can go to heaven. See, God said, honor me with your substance, I'll fill up your barns, I'll bring your health to you speedily, I'll bless you in no little way, I'll open the windows of heaven on you and you'll have so much you'll have to share with your neighbor, you'll have to share with the people in India, you'll have to share with the people in Africa. You know, folks, I'm telling you the truth, so help me God, our people share with people around the world because God makes our cup run over. It is so wonderful the way God blesses us. Now, in this, God has touched us. God has helped us. God has been with us. Can I then have treasures and be blessed of God? Abraham was rich. The Bible said he was a great prince. Isn't that right? Are you listening now? Abraham was rich. He was a great prince. The Bible said he was. He had jewels. He had wealth. Had power. Had all of these things. He was a great prince. So was King David. So was Solomon. And then the Bible said concerning Job, he was the greatest man in the East. He was so rich and so wealthy, he was the greatest man in the East. Abraham had so much wealth, why even the kings told him, said, man, you need a country of your own. Why, we can't dwell with you, you're so rich. See, God blessed him. But Abraham did not have that in his heart. Abraham did not have those things on his mind, neither did Job. See, God doesn't care how much riches you've got, if you use them for His glory, but God says you can't be carnally minded. Are you listening? What causes death? What brings death? Where does sin come from? I wish we could just get into the revelation of Jesus tonight and go into the thing what as to what time is and what death is and where it came from, how it got started and where it reaches its termination and what's going to happen and what age that we're living in the moment we're living in now. Amen. But we're just speaking a few little things here that we can kind of get together on. Okay, let's look at it for a few minutes now. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded, you say, what is being carnally minded, Brother Pye? To have carnal things is fine. To have an automobile is fine. To have a home is fine. To have land is fine. To have money is fine. If you're using it for the glory of God and giving, that's fine. But the day that you get to thinking automobiles and thinking land and thinking houses and thinking ball games and thinking sports and thinking social benefits and thinking the things of the world, Brother, God can't fellowship you. See, you're carnally minded. You're separated from God. And God can't use you anymore. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, then that means that you can't be anything out there amongst the people then and have God. No, that's wrong. Look at Daniel. Daniel was a president down there and that in Babylon. And the Hebrew children was great outstanding leaders down there. But brother, their mind was on God. All they could think about was God. Somebody say, yeah, they'll say, Brother Pike, now let's don't be fanatical. I guess I'm a little bit fanatical because I've heard it said that what a fanatic is, that you believe something and you believe that everybody else ought to believe the same thing you believe. And that I'm fanatical because that's what I believe. Amen. I believe in God, I believe in the Bible, and I believe everybody else ought to believe the same thing I believe. Now, there's one God, one faith, one baptism, just one great God, the great Spirit, and His Son's name is Jesus.
Amen.
Now, there's no redemption of sin except through that lovely, wonderful name of the darling Son of God.
Amen.
Tonight, I don't want to be carnally minded. How often should I speak of Jesus? How much should I keep my mind on Jesus? Let's see. The Bible says that I should meditate in His laws. How often? Day and night. I should meditate in the laws of God day and night. How much of myself should I give to God? The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. David even said, to the intents of mine heart. So then, how much of myself should I give to God? I should give myself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And then when I finish, he said, you've just done a reasonable service considering what I did for you. Are you listening, folks? So then God has a blessing for you. And that natural blessing is that you can have houses and lands and the beautiful things of this life. And then the second blessing he has for you is a physical blessing. And I'm going to hurry along on these two. The physical blessing that you must have. You know, I can have a beautiful automobile. I can have a nice home. I can have money in the bank. I can be a great rich person. But folks, if I've got cancer, if I've got tumor, if I've got heart problems, if I've got insanity, if I'm going around struggling with asthma, what good is all of those things to me? You know, they just vex me. Solomon said, vanity and vexation of the spirit. He said, to fear God and keep His commandments, this is what we need to do. Seek the Lord first, not second. Seek the Lord first. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all of these things shall be added unto you. All of them shall come unto you. For I've given you all things that pertain unto life. So then, the physical blessing, if I'm going to enjoy my natural inheritance, my natural substance, my natural blessings, I must of necessity have physical health. I must have physical health, folks. I must have a healthy body. I must have a body that's strong and radiant and ready to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, that reminds me, yesterday it was, we was out digging post hole. And just before that, we was out pouring cement. And just before that, we was down there working on the boat in the hot sun, worked all night long. And then after I got through working all night long on the boat, having worked a number of days and worked all night long, there we got right into our motorhome and drove off in our motorhome and down into Mexico we went, you know, nonstop, going right on to try to do something for God. Digging post hole, pouring cement, carpeting, anything, because God has blessed me.
Amen.
God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be strong. God wants to be with you, folks. Amen. He wants you to enjoy everything that God has given to you. He wants you to enjoy them. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. He said, I am the Prince of Life. I come that you might have a life and that just filled up and overflowing. I'll make your cup to run over. So then God wants us to have that second blessing, which is the health. We must have the second blessing of God, which is health, or we cannot enjoy the first blessing. Now listen close, folks. This is the most important part of all. The Bible says, I would above all things that you prosper and that you be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now this is the era of America today. This is where the problem comes in with all of the world today. They substitute something for their spiritual blessing. Are you listening? Man must have an inspiration. He must be activated with the presence of God, literally charged with God's presence. So he must be stimulated by the wonderful blessings of Almighty God. God wants to activate our inner being as well as our outer being with his great, wonderful presence. So then God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. I would above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I want you to prosper, number one blessing, natural. I want you to be in health, physically, as your soul prospers. I've got the root to your situation. I've got the spiritual root to your situation. If you do not have a root of godliness, if you do not have a root of God's Spirit and God's blessing, you will not have health. And if you don't have health, you will not have the body you need to obtain the riches of the world. So I want you to naturally be blessed. I want you to physically be blessed. I want you to spiritually be blessed. So the third blessing of God is the Spirit. And God said, I want you to have the physical blessing and the natural blessing according to your progress in your spiritual blessing. Is that right? That's what God wants.
Amen.
See, you cannot get your natural blessing and your physical blessing above your spiritual blessing. Now, Brother Jim, he's a great athlete. He's been a wrestler. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we had a meeting not too long ago at the arena, Brother Jim, and Paul, the man that's over wrestling, was converted to the Lord. While I was down in Florida, we had a boxer. He come up. He was a champion boxer of the era down around Miami. And he came up out to a service station while I was preaching under a little tent. And it got a hold of him so that he left the thing over there, and what he was doing, he'd come over and give his heart to God. He's still serving God today. While we was over in India, God began to move, and we preached to Catholic priest, and we preached to Nepal priest, and a Hindu priest, all kind of people. I don't know just who all. Out of that, one of the great athletes of India was converted. The ex-heavyweight champion of India was converted there in our meeting and become a Christian. After I left, they reported that 30 Catholic people give their heart to the Lord and was baptized in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
For the remission of sin. Now, God did something, and I say this to get over a thought. If you prosper in the natural, that's good. But if you don't prosper in the spiritual, it is a hindrance to you. If you're going to prosper in the physical, and that's what athletes have to do with, you know, you build up the body, whereas the Bible said physical exercise profiteth little. It didn't say it didn't profit nothing. But comparatively speaking, you know, as to the great riches of God, So then you build up your body, and you see these men, they lift weights, you know, and women alike, and they've got every muscle in place. It looks like they stuck their thumb in their mouth and blowed them up, you know, like bubble gum. But they're polished and they're waxed, and I mean, they're handsome looking fellows and women in that sense. But you know that, if you were spiritual, you'd know that everything in this world is just a natural type of that in that world. And that people who are spiritual, physical, spiritually exercise their body, and these natural physiques and these natural outstanding men and Mr. America and Miss America and all these kind of things is nothing but a typical thing of the great, wonderful, bulging muscles of that spiritual man. That's only a type. Because there's an eternal body, and that natural body is just a type of this great, wonderful, eternal body where men have exercised themselves in every capacity of understanding and life, and they stand there in the great power and preeminence of Jesus Christ as that great, wonderful champion of justice. All right, so then physically you build yourself up, you get that health. And you know, if you go after the world the way the world says, you really don't get it. But anyway, that's what they say. You know, so you do that and you become a great, wonderful Superman in your body. But folks, that still won't work. You've got to have spiritual exercise. Now, don't jump on me. Don't run away. Don't judge me until you hear what I got to say. Now, somebody would say, Brother Pike, I'll tell you how to have that great physique, and I'll tell you how to have that health. All you got to do is jog a little bit. And here we go. Uphill and downhill and overhill. And we eat like a pig, and we run like a horse to stay trimmed down, you know, like a young deer or something. But I've asked this question a lot of times. Folks, if that's the answer to it, if that gives long life, and that's what does the job, then I've asked this question. There was a man by the name of Enoch that lived about 300 years, and I was trying to find out how many times he went jogging. And I was trying to find out how many times Abraham went jogging, Moses went jogging, and Noah, that lived to be about 900 years old, I was trying to find out how many times he went jogging. You know, and I don't find no record where they lifted weights. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, this old body will just wear out. It's just, you know, it's just made for so many days, and that's all. That's such a great mistake, folks. David said, I'm wonderfully made. This is one of the greatest things that you've ever seen in your life. That body don't wear out. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, you get old and you wear out. No, there's no such days as that. How is it that Enoch went 300 years and was going strong? How is it that Noah went 900 years and was going strong? If you go 60 or 70 years and you've done your best and then you're wearing out, how did those men make it over the next rise? And how did they put so many hundreds of years upon their body and still were great, mighty men? See, it's not the body that wears out, folks. Going back to the carnal mind now, and I'm going to close my book here. Going back to the carnal mind. See, at the tree of knowledge, and, you know, the Bible speaks of science. Paul said, falsely so called, said it ain't the right knowledge at all. They're ever straining an ant swallowing a camel. They scientifically prove one thing today, and then scientifically tomorrow prove that they was wrong about their scientific discovery. And get everybody in the wilderness. Is that right? Science, which means knowledge, is what the word means, knowledge. So then, Eve got scientific, and she began to get herself a little knowledge. And that knowledge didn't agree with this knowledge, and that reasoning didn't agree with this reasoning. But the Bible said they're ever learning, and they never, never come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the knowledge of the truth, folks. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from death, sickness, poverty, problems, wondering, all these things. You know, you can read all kind of books and never understand anything much. You can read this one book and understand all things and all books. This is the great book of books here. So then, I want you to know tonight that God loves you and God has that threefold blessing for you, but it is of necessity that you do one thing, and that is be rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. To give yourself wholly unto the Lord Jesus and to seek Him first and above all things and lay everything else aside and follow hard after the Lord Jesus. And in doing this, you'll become great and mighty people such as has never been on the face of the earth, and you'll become exceedingly rich, not temporal riches, but eternally rich. Yes. You'll have the natural world. Somebody says, well, God's going to do away with this natural world. The Bible said the earth abideth forever. Generation comes and goes, and another one comes and goes, but the earth abideth forever because I made the earth to be inhabited. So it's going to be around. You don't have to worry about that, folks. The earth's going to be here. Somebody's going to live on it. And let me say this in trying to find a place to close, because I could just go on and go on and go on. The song says go on and on talking about this good old way. Let us go on talking about the Lord. But let me say this. We wonder who is going to own things. A lot of times we wonder who is the man or woman that's going to own things. You know who it is? The one that's going to stay around the longest. You understand what I'm saying? There's a generation that died not too many days back. And do you know who owns the world now? The generation that's here. And when this generation passes off the scene, you, me, and all the rest of us, if we go by the way of the grave, you know, then who's going to own your riches? Solomon said, I got it by wisdom. Who knows but what I'll leave it to a fool? And he did. Split the kingdom up to start with. 975 B.C., just split it up. How do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
721 B.C., everything just went berserk. Now, here's what I'm saying. This is the thing I'm saying. If I can get eternal life and I can outlive you, then I'm going to have your part. When you're gone, I'm still going to be here. And if I get to the place to where I can't die at all, then that means that does it. It all belongs to me. And I've already made that preparation. Would you like for me to share what I got with you? He said, well, what do you got? The Bible said, all things are mine.
Amen.
And I'll share what I got. If you'd like for me to share the birds, the stars, the trees, whatever, I'll share it all with you. But you got to do what I tell you. Because if you don't do what I tell you, you won't be around to enjoy it. Let's stand together, can we? I love you and I appreciate you tonight. I certainly appreciate our brother Jim and the wonderful opportunity to come here and minister. Talk to you some about these wonderful blessings of God. And when we speak of these things, then this is the elementary side of it. Speaking tonight of these things is very, very important. And they're not elementary in that they're principal basics. And without these, we don't have anything. But elementary in the sense that we can climb up into the third heaven by the powers and glory of God. You know, I want to say this tonight. A lot of people get hung up on this. They say, well, Brother Pike, I don't try to exercise myself because, you know, in these things, because I'm afraid that I'll get in God's way and I'll take God's glory. Would you listen to this a minute? I'll take God's glory. Did you know that you don't have to worry about that? Maybe one of these nights we'll get a chance to talk about that. But did you know we don't have to worry about that? I don't have to worry about getting His glory or taking His glory. Did you know I already have His glory?
Amen.
The Bible said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that you glorified me with or gave me before the world ever was. And said, Father, make these one, even as you and I are one. So see, He's already given me His glory. There's no danger of that. But you say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said He'll not give His glory to another. I agree with that, but I'm not another. I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Even the church. Now, if you're going to be some denominational power or something out there in the world, you can't get it. But when you belong to Him, oh, hallelujah, I feel that glory, don't you? Praise God. I feel that glory. Just standing here tonight, I feel that glory. I tell you what we're going to do while we're standing here tonight. First, I'd like to sing just a little chorus with you. And then we're going to turn it over to Brother Jim. And let Brother Jim have healing or whatever he'd like to have tonight for the people. Could I get somebody to play a little chorus here for me? We write a lot of songs. God has blessed us not only with the things I made mention of, but He's blessed us with our own professional recording studio. And, sometimes He did have to go down into Tennessee or somewhere. I got a place called Hilltop Studio down there and some places over in Atlanta, two or three other places around about that we had to go to. But now, God has blessed us, and we're going to... By the help of the Lord, we're going to make our own records right there at our own studio. You know, I love to do everything for God. The Bible said, do all things as unto the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus.
Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at the Father's side. He's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and He lives forevermore.
Do you love Him tonight? You love Jesus tonight? The Lord wants to do something for us, don't you believe that?
God wants to help us tonight. But there's only one way that God can help us. And that is for us to give God the chance to help us. Isn't that right? A physician may have the thing that you need, but talking to you about it will never do the job, folks. You can get admitted to every hospital. You can shake hands with every physician, even the great, wonderful physicians. But until something is injected into your body to go down to the blood vein, get into the cells of the body, you'll never get rid of the cancer. You'll never get rid of the disease. You've got to get something in there. The Bible said God looked down from heaven the days of Noah, saw that man's heart was continually evil. Solomon said that man's heart is filled with the vanities of life and his heart is set in madness and folly. And God has got to get down inside. Christ has got to get down the inside. It's necessary for Christ to get down the inside. And the only way God can get on the inside is to take away the stony heart. Take away the stony heart and place within you a heart of flesh and write his laws upon the table of your heart. And that's why the songwriter said, gone, the stone is rolled away. Gone, the tomb is empty. Gone to sit at the Father's right hand. Gone over death, triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. He's gone. He lives forevermore. What does he live? He lives in my heart. Jesus lives in my heart tonight. If any man deny that Christ is living in a human being or has come into a human body, that is in human flesh, denying that Christ has come in the flesh, he is an antichrist. Amen. For Christ in you is the hope of glory. You must have this wonderful God on the inside of you. Oh, I feel him, don't you? Amen. I tell you what, if he's on the inside of you, you can feel him. You can feel him. I know Brother Jim feels. I can see the way he's acting. Down at the temple the other night, he was really acting up. Something got a hold of him. So you can feel this if Christ is in you, the same Christ that resurrected from the dead. He'll also quicken your mortal body by his spirit. You can feel the quickening of that great, wonderful spirit. While they're singing tonight, I want you to think just for a moment now. While they're playing and while they're singing, can you think with me like this? Gone, the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at the Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore. One more time now. Oh, it's gone. The stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. While they're singing that now, I want you to do something for me. Are you listening? Are you listening? I want you to step out here with me. Will you do that? Will you do that? Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Step out here with me now. Gone, the stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Gone. He's sitting at the Father's right hand tonight. And he's beckoning to you and I. And he loves you and he loves me tonight. And he wants us to do something for him. Come on, folks. Come on. Let's make it 100% tonight. Come on, God wants to do something for you. I feel him drawing us. No man can come to God except the Spirit of God draw him. Amen. And folks, when you feel that drawing, whatever you do, don't you dare stay back. Amen. You may never feel that drawing anymore. So tonight, if you feel that drawing, you say, God, this is my chance. This is my chance. Now is the time of salvation. Today. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The bride is saying, come, and the bridegroom is saying, come, and let whosoever will come partake of the waters of life freely. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Will you do that tonight? Will you do that? You're a wonderful audience. You've listened wonderful tonight. You've accepted the word of God wonderfully tonight. And that makes a preacher happy because he can go away from an area when he preaches a few nights and he can go away and say, God bless those wonderful people. God give them help. You know, it's important that the preacher does that. It's important. Jesus said if he shakes the dust off, it'll be more tolerable for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, Lord. See, whatever you do, let God bless you. The Bible said concerning that preacher, he's a real God-sent man. Yes. Whoever he blesses will be blessed. Whoever he curses will be cursed. Yes. And I feel the blessing of God upon you people tonight. I really do. I feel God's favor towards you tonight. I feel you receive the things of God. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel God tonight. I feel His wonderful presence. While He's moving tonight. Hallelujah. I feel Him healing. I feel God saving tonight. I feel God doing something special tonight. Hallelujah. Sing it with me. Tomb is empty, gone to sit at my Father's side. Gone, oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives. One more time, we're going to sing it. While we're singing it, lift your hands with me. Will you do that? Close your eyes tonight. Let God's Holy Spirit come into you tonight. I feel faith. All it takes is faith. Faith in the true and the living God. Faith in the name of the Son of God. And the great, wonderful Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, will come into your heart. And I feel God coming into your heart tonight. Let's love Him tonight. God inhabits the praise of His people. Let's praise Him and love Him tonight. And let's call upon His lovely name tonight.
Yes.
Oh, it's gone. The stone is rolled back, gone. Oh, the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at the Father's side. Oh, He's gone. All the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forever.
Just one more time, and we won't sing it again.
Oh, it's gone. The stone is rolled back, gone. All the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side.
I believe you believe that.
Oh, it's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives.
I said I wouldn't sing it no more, but I believe God wants us to.
Oh, He's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. Oh, the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And He lives forevermore.
Close your eyes, folks. Yes. Lift your hands. Just think how beautiful this is tonight. Eternal life, to never die. Sin is defeated. And where there's no sin, there's no death, folks. The sting of sin is death. Where there's no sting, there's no death. Sin is defeated. Death is defeated. And you people are free from it. I can tell that you're free from it tonight. I can feel His wooing. I can feel His blessing. I can feel His Spirit. I can feel your faith. I know that you're free from death tonight. You made it. You got loose from it. You made it over the Jordan. You made it over that old carnal mind of the Jordan. To be carnally minded is death. You made it over the Jordan. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name.
You know what happened?
Yes.
Somebody got a revelation.
Yes.
Somebody got a revelation. That's what caused that. Yes. Somebody got a revelation. I saw them and they got it.
Yes.
Don't you love Him tonight? Can't you praise Him tonight? My, how wonderful it is. Getting over the Jordan tonight. No more death, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more poverty, no more sin. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up and love Him tonight?
Yes, Lord.
Can you love Him?
Yes, Jesus.
How wonderful.
Empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant gone. Is defeated gone. He lives forevermore.